Well, hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, now inside the 12th Hour, in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is July 13, 2014, or is the 17th day of the 4th lunar month, 2018, and we will start our first service on this first day of the week with a song entitled, Lead Me to Calvary. King of my life, I come thee now, thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thy agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Show me the tomb where thou wast laid, tenderly mourned and wept. Angels in robes of light array guarded thee while thou slept. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Let me like Mary to the gloom come with a gift to thee. Show to me now the empty tomb, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. May I be willing not to bear daily my cross for thee, even the cup of grief to share, thou hast borne all for me. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Separated unto the Gospel is our title to our sermon today, taken from Romans chapter 1. First, we're going to go and read Job chapter 45. Actually, that's Job chapter 42. That's all the chapters there are in Job. Let's read the whole chapter. It said, Then Job answered the Yahweh and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I pour myself, and repent in the dust and ashes. And it was so that after Yahweh had spoken these words unto Job, the Yahweh said unto Eliphaz, the Temanite, My wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for you have not spoken of me the thing that is right as my servant Job hath. Therefore take unto you now seven bullocks and seven rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And of my servant Job shall And my servant Job shall pray for you, for him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, and that you have not spoken of me the things which is right like my servant Job. So Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, went and did according as Yahweh commanded them. But Yahweh also accepted Job. And Yahweh turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, Yahweh gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren, and all his sisters, and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him, and comforted him over all the evil that Yahweh had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So Yahweh blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he called the name of the first Jemimi, and the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Karen Hapok, and in all the land were no woman found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this lived Job 140 years, and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died, being old and full of the days. Now, this is interesting. When you maintain your integrity with Yahweh, that he will bring you through in the end. He'll bring you through triumphant, and he'll punish your enemies. He'll punish those that brings railing accusations against you. He'll punish those that continue on walking in the sparks of their own kindling, after they've been warned and warned and warned and warned and warned and told. Finally, Yahweh said, I've had enough. I've had enough. He had enough of Gilead Center after 33 years, even though I believe Gilead Center was mandated for 40 years. But he'd had enough of it after 33 years. And so we've seen the end of another 33-year odyssey here with us here at Camp David. Just finishing up this year. And so I'm happy to say I believe that this is the end of these years of toiling, okay, and coming through the fire, so to speak, being tested, tried, and so forth. So now we're going to fast forward now to Romans chapter 1. And read about this here, Paul, a servant of the Yahshua Messiah, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of the Yahshua. Yahshua is the author of the plan of salvation. Well, actually, I say he is. The Father is. The Heavenly Father created Yahshua. So the Father is the author of the plan of salvation. So let's call it like it is. Let's start again with verse 1 of Romans. Chapter 1, it says, Paul, a servant of the Yahshua Messiah, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of the Yahweh Elohim, the originator and the creator of all life and all substance. Verse 2, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Concerning his son Yahshua Messiah, our Savior, which was made of the seed of David according unto the flesh, and declared to be the son of Elohim with the power, according unto the spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Now, in Romans chapter 6, it tells us also that we have to be resurrected from the dead. Okay, and we have to, let's just read Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Let him forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into the Yahshua Messiah were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by the baptism into the death of the Yahshua, that like as Yahshua was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Okay. Then why do we keep the warfare going on between each other? If we've gone through the watery grave, we've been baptized into his death, why are we still grumbling and complaining and being burdened down the cares of this life? Let's read on, verse 5, Romans chapter 6. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now it says, for if we have been planted together. Okay. Well, I can venture to say that after 33 years with Alan DeLong, that I don't believe we were planted together in the likeness of his death. I don't believe we ever were. And we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, because if we had been planted together in the likeness of his death, we would be together today, working together as brethren, and furthering the kingdom's direction. Okay, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Okay. So if you're dead to the flesh, the carnal, and you mortify the deeds of the flesh, well, then you are freed from sin. You are freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Yahshua, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Yahshua, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto Elohim. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto Elohim through Yahshua Messiah our Savior. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Now the year ye... your members as instruments of the unrighteousness unto sin. But yield yourselves unto Elohim as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of the righteousness unto Elohim. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but you are under grace. Okay. So if sin no longer has dominion over you, then you are under grace. But then, shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Let him forbid. Know ye not that unto whom ye yield yourselves service to obey, his servants ye are, unto whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But let him be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, that ye have obeyed from the heart that form of the doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants unto uncleanness and unto iniquity, even so now ye yield your members servants unto righteousness and unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants of Elohim, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of the Elohim is eternal life, is with the eternal life through the Yahshua, Messiah, our Savior. Well, it's hard to add anything to that. That's a very complete illustration of being translated into the kingdom of His dear Son via the baptismal fountain. Okay, and so we will continue now. Romans chapter 1. It says, concern His Son Yahshua Messiah, our Savior, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of Elohim with the power according unto the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for the obedience unto the faith among all nations for His name, among whom are ye also the call of Yahshua Messiah. Unto all that be in Rome, beloved of Elohim, called to be saints, grace unto you, and peace from Elohim our Father, and the Savior Yahshua Messiah. First I thank my Yahweh through Yahshua Messiah for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For Elohim is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means, and now at the length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of the Elohim to come unto you. Now we'll continue on Romans 1, verse 8. It says, first I thank my Elohim through Yahshua Messiah for you all, that your faith and the plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant is spoken of throughout the whole world. Is that what they're going to say about us today? This house of David, is that what they're going to say? No, only inspired prophets that knows what's going on will say this. For Elohim is my witness, whom I serve in my spirit and the gospel of His Son. What did we say the gospel is? Good news. Yahweh spelled it out. Okay. And how do you spell it out? Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Okay, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means, and now at the length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of the Elohim to come unto you. For I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, and to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I will not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purpose to come unto you, but was hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. Okay. So the Romans are Gentiles. What did Paul say in Ephesians 2? We are brethren. I'm a Jew, of the tribe of Benjamin. You're a Gentile. Verse 14, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarian, both unto the wise and unto the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel. In other words, teach you the plan of the salvation through the blood of the new covenant, the everlasting covenant, as it is in Yahshua, for the New Testament, to you that are at Rome also. And Paul says, Rome, where is Rome at today? It's in Italy. It's where the Vatican has its headquarters. Okay. The Vatican has its headquarters at Washington, D.C. at the White House. Here in this country. And the Jesuits run it. The Jesuits have a pope. The Jesuits run the whole world. They have a black pope. That's higher than the pope that you know about in Rome. They have two popes. They have the black pope, which they call the black pope. He's not actually black, but they call him, he's invisible. But he's the one that runs the world. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Yahshua, for it is the power of the Elohim unto the salvation, and to everyone that believeth, unto the Jew first, and also unto the Greek. Okay, so now who are the Greek? The Greek are Jews also. Yeah. Okay, for therein is a righteousness of the Elohim revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now I said the Greeks are Jews also. No, they're not Jews also. They do call them Greek Jews, but you'll find out that these Jews are more Muslim and Islamic than anything else. For they hate the Jews. They hate Judah. They hate Yahweh's 12 tribes. They do anything in the world today to side in with the enemy to destroy Israel and Jerusalem and all those that are professed Messianic Christians believing in the Son of Yahweh. Okay, it says, for therein is the righteousness of Elohim revealed from faith to faith. Okay, from one generation to another, in other words, faith in the power of the blood of the everlasting covenant. As it is written, the just shall live by the faith in the plan of salvation through the blood. Okay, it says, we're going to go into the part now, Yahweh's wrath against sin. For the wrath of Elohim is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Mm-hmm. Okay, you wonder why people are separated from the body of Yahshua after a fashion, after a while? It's because their righteousness has been revealed to be unrighteousness. And that makes Yahweh very unhappy. He has a wrath that his wrath is kindled against this type of conduct. Because that which may be known that Elohim is manifest in them, for Elohim has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew Elohim, they glorified him not as Elohim, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible Elohim into an image made like unto the corruptible man, and unto birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore Elohim also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own body between themselves, who changed the truth of the Elohim into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Hallelujah. For this cause Elohim gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and that is your listening, and that is your all of this sex perversion people in the world, getting their sex identity changed from male to female and female to male, and it's called transgender. They're evil beyond words. They're what they call aliens, and actually illegal aliens. What is an alien? An alien is someone that has been impregnated with the seed of Satan. And so he is demon-possessed. Demon-possessed people are aliens. They're illegal aliens. That's verse 27 of Romans chapter 1. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain Yahweh in their knowledge, Elohim gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of Elohim, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient unto parents, without understanding. There you have it. Covenant breakers. Okay, that's Alan DeLong. He's without understanding. He's a covenant breaker. And he without natural affection. Yeah, he don't have natural affection. Implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of the Elohim that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You know, I'm sorry to have to mention this out, but you know, folks, we've got a harvest looking at us here in front of us of the whole world, even back to the Adam time. We've got a resurrection of multi-millions of people that are going to come forth. And this house of David is the one that's going to set the foundation and the stage for this building up this new Jerusalem that has got to be organized and set up in order to handle this great influx of the world's population. I'm talking about those that are righteous that are at hand to come. The righteous will be saved. They will be preserved. The wicked will be all destroyed. The wicked in their graves will stay in their graves. The righteous in their graves will come forth. Okay? To join the righteous that are living. The wicked will stay dead, and those living wicked will be killed, and they will have to go into their graves where their brethren are at. Romans chapter 2. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For when thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same thing. But we are sure that the judgments of the Elohim is according unto the truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of Elohim? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness, and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of Elohim leadeth thee unto repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of Elohim, who will render unto every man according unto his deed. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every sorrow man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. The glory, honor, and peace. Let's read that again. The tribulation and anguish upon every soul of a man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace unto every man that worketh good, unto the Jew first, and also unto the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with the Yahweh. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just for Elohim, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when Elohim shall judge the secrets of men by the Yahshua Messiah according unto my gospel, behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of the Elohim, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of the babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore, which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, does that steal? Okay. Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, does thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonest thou Elohim? For the name of Yahweh is blasphemed among the Gentiles, through you as it is written, for circumcision greatly profiteth if thou keep the law. If thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision does transgress the law? For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and the circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of the Elohim. What advantage then hath the Jew? We're in Romans chapter 3 now, starting with verse 1. Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way. Chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of Yahweh. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith in the blood of Yahshua without effect? For the Elohim forbid, yea, let Yahweh be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of the Elohim, what shall we say? Is Elohim unrighteous who takes his vengeance? I speak as a man. Elohim forbid, for then how shall Elohim judge the world? Okay. For if the truth of Yahweh hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, and no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after Yahweh. They are all gone out of the way, they are all together become unprofitable. There is none that does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps under their lips, whose mouth is full of the cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And a way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of Elohim before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith unto them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before Elohim. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Okay, now, we're coming to the part of righteousness by faith, and I always say, in the blood of Yahshua, verse 21. But now the righteousness of the blood of Yahshua without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of the Elohim, which is by the faith in the blood of Yahshua, Messiah, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of the Elohim, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in the Yeshua Messiah, whom the Elohim has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of Elohim, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in the Yahshua. Where is boasting? Then it said it is excluded by what law? Of the works? Nay, but by the law of faith in the blood of the Yahshua. Okay. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by the faith in the blood of Yahshua without the deeds of the law. Is he the Elohim of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one Elohim which shall justify the circumcision by the faith and the uncircumcision through the faith. Okay, do we then make void the law through the faith? Elohim forbid. Yea, we establish the law. What shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham was justified by the works, he had whereof the glory, but not for Elohim. Romans 4:3. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed Elohim, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now unto him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of the grace, but of the debt. Verily, unto him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the unrighteous, his faith is counted for the righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom Elohim imputeth righteousness without the works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Yahweh will not impute sin. Now, this makes me think about Psalms 32, where David talks a similar language. He said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. And Paul is saying, blessed is the man unto whom the Yahweh will not impute sin. And David says in Psalms 32, verse 2, he said, blessed is the man unto whom the Yahweh imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no God. He says, David says, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, my moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto thee, Yahweh, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. For this shall every one that is righteous pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of the great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. So that's Psalms chapter 32, 1-6. Now we'll go back to Romans chapter 4, Romans verse 9. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith is reckoned unto Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision unto them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of our father Abraham, of which he had been yet uncircumcised. So Abraham had faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, even when he was uncircumcised, and he wasn't circumcised, I believe, until he was 100 years old. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not unto Abraham or unto his seed that through the law, but through the righteousness of the faith. Romans 4:14. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void. What faith? Faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of the faith that it might be by the grace, unto the end that the promise might be sure unto all the seed, not unto that only which is of the law, but unto that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even Elohim, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those saints which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in the hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according unto that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in the faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. For he staggered not at the promise of Elohim through the unbelief, but was strong in the faith in the blood of the Yahshua, of the everlasting covenant, giving glory unto the Father Yahweh, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed unto him, but for us also, unto whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up the Yahshua our Savior from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Okay, so there's two things that Yahshua was offered up for. He was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So he was delivered for our offenses for the Seventh-day Adventist Church from 1844 to 2002. He was delivered again for the offenses of the spiritual Israel today, including the Davidians. But then he was spiritually crucified again at Gilead Center 2002. But he was raised again for our justification. Whose justification? The justification of the saints that are at hand to come, the 144,000, the house of David, where the everlasting kingdom of heaven is set up here on earth, with Yahshua sitting upon the throne of this everlasting kingdom of heaven, which is called David's throne. Okay. So he was raised for our offenses in 2002. Whose offenses? The offenses of the Adventist Church. Brother Johnson committing the last offense, and the straw broke the camel's back, so to speak, and caused Yahshua then to stand up and take the reins in his own hands, and so forth. Okay, now we're going into Romans chapter 5. It says justification through the faith. All right, Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by the faith, we have peace with Yahweh through our Savior Yahshua Messiah, by whom also we have access by the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of the Elohim. So, where salvation is opened up to people, that's where we enter into a period of grace, whoever are the people at the time that receives this salvation. And we're the ones, the house of David today in the 12th hour, we're the ones that are standing in this the hope of this glory of the Father, which is we by faith in the blood of Yahshua, we stand in this grace. Okay, verse 3, Romans 5. And not only so, but we glory in the tribulations also, knowing that the tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of Elohim is shed abroad in our heart by the Yahweh Spirit, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Yahshua died for the unrighteous. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, as some would even dare to die. But Elohim commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Yahshua died for us. Okay. So Yahweh the Father commended his love toward us through his Son that died for us. Okay. Verse 9. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Okay. Now we're justified by his blood. 2002, the house of David was justified by the blood of Yahshua because he rose again a second time. He was crucified in Solomon, Egypt. And Solomon, Egypt was the Adventist church coming to a head at Gilead Center. Revelation chapter 11, the two witnesses testifying there. Okay, Yahshua was resurrected from the spiritually again from the dead. Okay, and if he didn't resurrect again the second time, then we have no justification then to bring forth the 144,000. We have no justification in his blood to be the progenitors of the righteous line, the race of the 12 tribes of Israel. There would be no coming forth of the 144,000 if Yahshua didn't make again the supreme sacrifice. Okay, verse 10, Romans 5. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled unto Elohim by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Okay, it says, at the time we were enemies, Gilead Center Permutation of 1972-2003, we were enemies to him, but we were reconciled to the Father by the antithetical death of his Son there at Gilead Center, spiritually, crucified in the Word. Revelation 11 bears this out. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So now we're saved by his life, the sprinkled blood on a daily basis. This is what we're going to use to bring forth the 144,000 and bring forth all the living righteous today of the Gentile world and world over. And then the same blood of the everlasting covenant is what's going to bring all the righteous from their graves clear back to Adam. Pretty powerful this blood is. Verse 11, Romans 5. He says, and not only so, but we also join the Elohim through our Savior Yahshua Messiah, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man a sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, for until the law of sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam unto Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of the Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come, but not as the offense, so also as a free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of the Elohim and the gift by the grace, which is by one man, Yahshua Messiah, hath abounded unto many. As it says right here, and not as it was by the one that sinned, so is the free, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one under condemnation, but the free gift is of the many offenses under justification. So there you have it. The free gift is his blood. Actually, the free gift is his Son. You can read that right there. In Romans chapter 6, and I believe I read that this morning, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of the Yahweh is eternal life through the Yahshua Messiah, our Savior. And how is it through Yahshua? It's through his blood. So the gift, the free gift is the blood. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of the grace and of the gift of the righteousness shall reign in the life by one, that's your Messiah. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of the one, the free gift came upon all men under the justification of life. Whereas by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life, Yeshua the Messiah, our Savior. Okay, that's a lot of information. We are getting right on along, and we had like about 10 minutes having this service out. So it says that we've already read chapter 6, so we're going to go on to Romans chapter 7. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak unto them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over man as long as he liveth. Okay? For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law of her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. It's so hard nowadays for the husbands to be a law unto their wives. Their wives want to have their freedom. They don't want to be under a man. They don't want to be under Yahweh. They don't want nothing over them. They want to be on the top. And the world is just going to hell in a handbasket because of this, mainly because of the rebellion of the women. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. I dare say, though, the man causes a woman, though, to go astray, because the man is not doing his job, really, at the head of the house. He's failed there, and so therefore the woman fails. And then the whole thing fails. All right. Wherefore, my brethren, this is Romans 7:4. Ye also are become dead unto the law by the body of Yahshua, that you should be married unto another, even unto him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto Yahweh. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law of sin? Elohim forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, that means sexual deviancy, for without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained in the life I found to be unto death. For sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is made is good made death unto me? Elohim forbid. But sin that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. For what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. For then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not that I do. Now if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of the Elohim after the inward man. But I see another law and my members warn against the law of my mind, and bring me into the captivity unto the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank Elohim to Yahshua Messiah our Savior, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of the Elohim, but with the flesh the law of sin. Okay, that's the end of chapter 7. We just like a few minutes. I'll go right on into chapter 8. It says, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation unto them which are in Yahshua Messiah, who walk not after flesh but after spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Yahshua Messiah hath made me free from the law of sin and death. What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, Elohim sent his own Son in the likeness of the sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, and that they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against Elohim, for it is not subject unto the law of Elohim, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please Elohim. That ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be, that the Spirit of Elohim dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Yahshua, he is none of his. And if Yahshua be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So the Spirit is life in you, because if you are righteous and following righteous law, then the Spirit of life is in you because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Yahshua from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Yahshua from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not unto the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of the Yahweh, they are the sons of Yahweh. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So Alan DeLong and Sharon, this is for you. I'm going to read that verse 14 and 15 again. If you hear this message, take it to heart. For as many as are led by the Spirit of Yahweh, they are the sons and daughters of the Yahweh. For if you have not received the spirit of bondage, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of the adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So if you're led by the Spirit of Yahweh, then you can call yourself a son or a daughter of Yahweh. And if you're in rebellion against his leadership, there is no way that you can be led by the Spirit of Yahweh. And there's no way that you can be a son of Yahweh. And if you want to become a son or a daughter, you've got to repent, you've got to come back into the kingdom, and you've got to be adopted back into the family. Because you have taken yourself out of the family. You have to be adopted back into it. Romans 8:16. For the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of Yahweh. And if children, then heirs, heirs of Elohim, and joint heirs with Yahshua, if so be that we suffered with him, that we may also be glorified together. Okay, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of Elohim. For the creature was made subject unto vanity, not willingly, but by the reason of him who has subjected the same in the hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of the corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of the Elohim. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to witness the redemption of our bodies. For we are saved by the hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope? Okay. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it? Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for, as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of the Yahweh. This brings the close of our study. Our contact us at the 11th hour call. We're going to close this service now with a song. Ivory palaces, my all has gone so wondrous fine, and mother texture filled, its fragrance reached this heart of mine with joy in my being thrilled. Out of the ivory palace into a world of woe, only his ray, eternal law, may my Savior go. His life hath also his sorrow sold, for fellows had a part. And when I think of the cross he bore, my eyes with teardrops start. Out of the ivory palace into a world of woe, only his great eternal love may my Savior go. His garments to wedding Cassia did, with healing and a touch. They found my feet in some sin has led. They cut me from this flood. Out of the ivory palace into a world of woe, only his great eternal love made my Savior go. And garments glorious he will come, who open wide the door, and I shall enter my heavenly home together forevermore. Out of the ivory palace into a world of woe, only his great eternal love made my Savior.